As we begin this evening's message, I want to tell Brother Shan that I appreciate him leading us in the singing and doing all the things that he has done in order to facilitate this meeting and to make it what it is. And I appreciate him tremendously. I really do tremendously for that. And we certainly pray for you and pray for your ministry here, and that it would flourish, and that this would be an opportunity not only for you to share the word of God with the congregation, but for you to grow yourself within the structure of the church. It is not a good thing if only the church is growing and the preacher is not growing. And so it has to be that. And so we must not only let him minister to us, but we must minister to him too and encourage him in any way that we possibly can. And to those of you who have extended kindness towards me and fellowshipping with me, eating with me, and spending time with me, you have made a real imprint in my spiritual life. And I'm not just saying that to patronize anybody and to say nice things, but indeed I really, really, really mean that. And we know that one day we are going to enjoy heaven together, but down here on earth we must continue to encourage one another. And you all have been such a tremendous encouragement to me this week. This week has gone by fast, to be honest with you. It has gone by tremendously fast, and so appreciate you all very much. And want to commend the two baptisms that we had this week, and both of these new brothers. Want to encourage them in the Lord, for them to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, to serve, and to make themselves available for growth. And that's an important thing. I say this all the time, Brother Kenneth, that God did not save me for me to be lost. He saved me for me to be saved and to stay saved. And so what you all have done this week, and even in you being baptized, it encouraged others. It motivated others. And it absolutely inspired others too. And so I am so inspired by that. And not to minimize the ones who repented and asked for prayers. I'm of the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, is that me making that sound, Tommy, or is that okay? All right. Okay, I'm trying to see if it's me making the sound. But I do not minimize when a person comes and repents and asks for prayers for forgiveness of sin and for inadequacies, because the Bible says there is rejoicing in the presence of God over one that repents. Now we go, whoa, 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 for baptisms. And that's a good thing. Praise God for that. But we have to do that same celebration, that same joy, that same exhilaration over one that comes just simply repenting, and praise God for those that came and asked for prayers. We're going to miss you when we leave, but I am going to get back, and I'm not saying get back for another gospel meeting, but I'm going to get back and definitely fellowship with the congregation at some point, and not just come to preach, but come to fellowship and to be with the saints. I'm impressed with your group of young people. You have a bona fide great group of young people, and the young men that led prayers during the week. I just sit and I watch, and I'm just so happy. And the young men that served on the table Sunday, God bless you for that. And that some kind of training is going on somewhere. And so either it's in the home or it's in the congregational setting, but some training is going on, and that is an investment in the future. I tell you right now, Port Lavaca, if there's anything that I can do for the congregation in the future, please let me know. Please let me know. I'm not saying call me again for another gospel meeting. I'm saying just please let me know if I can do anything for you all individually, for you all corporately. And even if you just need somebody to come and clean the building, if you need somebody to do that, call me and I'll find somebody. Amen. Amen on that one. I'm crazy, not stupid, you know, so yeah, I'll get somebody. But you all are a wonderful group of people. You really are. And I'm not just saying that gratuitously, but I'm saying it honestly. The book of Matthew, ladies and gentlemen. Last night we took tonight's sermon and we put it last night. And because I put tonight's sermon last night, I went back and changed tonight's sermon. So we have to do some reeling in tonight, because there's still somebody in this auditorium who has not obeyed the Lord. There is still somebody tonight who needs to make a commitment to the Lord, and you haven't done it. You saw the baptisms this week. And you sat where you sat. You heard what you heard. You felt what you felt. And you stayed exactly where you were. And so you came here and you left exactly where you were. That's not the way it is when you confront or when you have an experience with Jesus. He never leaves anybody the way that they were. And so tonight is your night, and I went back and changed the message for tonight so that we might be able to kind of tug on your hearts and get you to obey the Lord and not put this thing off. The book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is the book of Matthew, or let me say this, the Matthew chapter 16 is a seminal chapter in the New Testament, and especially in the four Gospels. There is good reason for me to say that it is seminal, it is pivotal, it is absolutely significant. And the reason why Matthew chapter 16 is so pivotal and so seminal is because of the content of that particular chapter. In Matthew chapter 16, it is that place where the profession is asked and the confession is made. The profession is, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Excuse me, y'all. And the Bible said, that is Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, when Jesus had came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to say that some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, or some Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not prevail against it. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to go back there at the end of this evening's discourse. And he tells Peter, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And in verse number 21, the Bible says, then Jesus began to tell his disciples how that he must go down to Jerusalem and be turned over into the hands of the elders and suffer many things and be killed and raise up again the third day. Same chapter, Peter began rebuking him, say, Lord, forbid from thee. And Jesus tells Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. You savorest not the things of God, but the things of the world. Jesus goes on to ask the question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm telling you that if a man does not deny himself
and take up his cross and follow me.
Then in the last verse of that 16th chapter, which is the first verse of Matthew chapter 17, Jesus said, there be some of you standing here which shall not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You see why this chapter is so pivotal? You see why this chapter is so seminal? You see why this chapter is so extraordinary? But I want to go back, if you don't mind, to about verse number 24. And I'll announce the title of this evening's discourse, and then we will prosecute the message, bring it to a punctuation, and leave the decision between you and God. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want to use for a title of this evening's message, you can't carry your cross sitting down. I got a grunt on that side and a head wag on this side. But it is a truism. You cannot carry your cross sitting down. And there are some individuals who want to carry their crosses sitting down. This church will never ever make the progress that she needs to make. We cannot carry our crosses. Maybe you can, but I know I can't. And it is an absolute impossibility for an individual to carry his or her cross sitting down. Matthew chapter 9, the Bible tells the time that Jesus walks up on a guy by the name of Matthew. And Matthew is sitting at the tax collector's table. And Jesus tells Matthew, follow me. And guess what Matthew did? He got up and followed Jesus. Now, how are you going to follow Jesus? Jesus is leaving, and you're going to sit right there. That dog don't hunt. You cannot carry your cross sitting down. That's why this thing is as urgent as it is, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot carry our cross sitting down. I believe in my own little limited mindset that what Peter was trying to do in Peter's exchange with Jesus, when Jesus in verse 21, as I told you just a few seconds ago, that Jesus said that he must go down to Jerusalem and suffer many things by the hands of the elders and be killed, but he will raise again the third day. I believe that when Peter began to rebuke him, that Peter began saying, you know what? Maybe we can do this thing another way. Maybe we can do it another way. If Peter's rebuking Jesus and telling Jesus, far be it from you, we are not going to let this happen. You are not going to die. Peter, I must. And I'm saying it to every last one of you within listening range. You cannot carry your cross sitting down. He must. He said, I must go down to Jerusalem. I must suffer things by the hands of the elders. They will kill me. But I will raise up again the third day. You can't carry your cross sitting down. You get somebody on your basketball team, and you know what? There is nobody on your basketball team that can score from the bench. But you know what they can do? They can take points away from the bench. Because here it is, they're sitting on the bench drinking all of the Gatorade, Kool-Aid, whatever they're drinking, and say something stupid, beep, and call a tech. The other team get 2 points, or whatever it is, gets at least a chance at points. You can't score from the bench, but you can cause the team to lose point from the bench. I'm sounding good to myself, if nobody else. I ain't scared of none of y'all tonight. I'm leaving in about 30 minutes anyway, so... I'm definitely ain't scared of you because I'm leaving tonight. Who can score from the bench? Who can score from the sideline? You can't score for your team, but you can cause the other team by getting a technical to get some points. You cannot carry your cross from You cannot carry your cross from the bench. You can't carry your cross sitting down. Somebody's saying, you know what? At least I am close to it. Well, close is not in. Somebody is saying that I'm near to it. Well, near is not in. You got to be in. And the reason why you got to be in, because in is where it is. Where are the spiritual blessings? In Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Where is the redemption? In Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. Where is the forgiveness of sin? In Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. Where is the no condemnation? In Christ, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Where is the new creation? In Christ. Oh, you're not with me this afternoon. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Where is the salvation? In Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10. Close is not good enough. You got to be in. You got to be in. Because in is where it's at. You cannot carry your cross sitting down. Got to get up. I think, I don't know, but and maybe it is just the King James Version and maybe no other translation does it the same way, but evidently there must be something virtuous in walking. Must be something virtuous in walking. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul says, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. That must be something virtuous in walking. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. There must be something going on with this walking. You cannot pick up, you cannot carry a cross. You cannot follow Jesus sitting down. So what does sitting down say? Sitting down says, let somebody else do it. Sitting down says, not me, Lord. Get somebody else. Ladies and gentlemen, no man, no woman, no boy or girl can carry their cross sitting down. We have become beamers to the motors. That is, some have beams in their eyes and they can see the motor in the other person's eye. You're a beamer and you're looking at the motors. And there are too many sideline saints. There's somebody here tonight who's saying, you know what? I am searching. If you are searching, how are you searching? There is one way you search. In the book of Luke chapter 6, it tells us how to search. Verse number 46, it says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Then Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to tell you about somebody that is wise. Because the person who is wise and who is going out to build the house, what that wise person will do, he will dig deep in the earth. What are you talking about, Anderson? In other words, in order to get to the authentic, to get to the truth, especially in 2017, you're going to have to do some digging. You just cannot walk into it and say, here it is. It don't work that way. You have to do some digging. And that's why I said that the person who is going to build, the wise builder who builds his or her house on a solid foundation, the first thing they do is dig deep in the earth. And when you dig deep in the earth, you're pushing away some of the junk. Every scoop is some junk. Tradition, man-made doctrine. What mama said that's not based upon the Bible. You're scooping that stuff away and you're tossing it to the side. That's how you search. You don't search by saying, well, I'm just trying to get in touch with myself. You know, I want God to rain it down from heaven. I want a moving and I want to feel it in my chest. Well, you're feeling it in your chest. You should have left them beans alone, you know. If you're feeling in your chest, you got to dig deep in the earth. Go back and ask your preacher. Ask your preacher, according to the scriptures, how many churches did Jesus promise to build? If he's honest, he's going to say one church. Oh, stay with me now because this gets better. I took some time to get this. Go and ask your preacher, according to the scriptures, How does one get into Christ? According to the scriptures, I gave you the little exercise last night. How does one get into Christ? You ask him according to the scriptures. How does one get into Christ? And ask him to present to you a verse of scripture. Ask your preacher. How does one become a member of? And that's an important point. Because you have a sliding rule about how a person is saved. There is one group that is saying all you have to do is put your hand on the radio and pray the sinner's prayer. Ask your preacher, show you the sinner's prayer. It ain't there. Then they say, well, you know what? You got to confess your sins in order to get into Christ. Ask him to show you one place where anybody had to confess their sins to get into Christ. What you got to confess is that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the confession that you make. Now, after you are a believer and you sin, then you must confess. What they are doing is they are not rightly dividing what it says. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, that is not talking about an alien sinner. That is talking about somebody who has already been redeemed and has a covenant relationship with God. If, once again, I told you about that walking. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins. If any man say he's not sin, he makes God a liar. The truth is not in him, and he deceived himself. But if we confess our faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us. When James says in James chapter 5, confess your faults one to another and pray one, he's not talking about somebody who's not in Christ. Now, you may not, this may disturb you what I'm about to say, but don't let it disturb, because I'll qualify it. Of the 27 books written especially in the New Testament, not a single one of them was written to somebody who was a non-believer. I knew it got quiet in here when I said that. Not a single book in the Bible, in the New Testament, was written to a non-believer. Well, who was the book of Corinthians written to? It was written to the Corinthians. Who was the book of Romans written to? It was written to the Romans. Who was the book of Ephesians written to? It was the book written to the church at Ephesus. The Galatians, to Timothy, to Titus. You got with me so far? And so if these things are written to these individuals, it is written about church matters. Now, but it does tell us how, especially in the book of Acts, how that a person who is not a believer comes to Christ. It tells us. And never once does it say that you have to confess your sins. Ask your preacher about it. Ask. I'm talking about searching. You can't carry your cross sitting down. Mama comes in the house and say, you know, mama tells you, I'm leaving. You're sitting on the sofa. Wash those dishes. Come back, the dishes ain't washed. How can you wash the dishes from sitting on the sofa in the living room? You can't wash the dishes on the sofa in the living room. Son, put out the trash. Okay, mama. I don't know. My son was a very smart kid, but that boy could not remember what day Tuesday was. He said, even today, Dad, I don't know why I couldn't remember Tuesday and Thursday. Only thing you had to do, put out the trash. And I come home and the trash hadn't been put out. Alice, why couldn't you put out? Well, I can't remember. Yeah. Okay, well, give me these car keys. You can't remember that either. You can't wash the dishes from sitting on the sofa in the living room, playing your games in the bedroom, talking on the phone and doing these things away from where it is. No one can carry their cross. No one can carry their cross sitting down. Jesus goes on to say that if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Peter wanted to do it another way. Yes, he did. But that's not the way you can do it. Last thought, and the lesson indeed is yours. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and he takes them into the garden, and there he tells them, sit as I go yonder and pray. And the Bible said that Jesus went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he began praying. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But you want to know something? Jesus, you're laying on your face in the garden. Jesus, you bow down in prayer. You cannot carry that cross laying on your face in the garden. You're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to carry it. I think, ladies and gentlemen, if that is a stark reminder to us that how decisive it was for Jesus that he could not carry that cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to go through Jerusalem to the cobblestones of that city, and that he had to go from Annas' house to Caiaphas' house. They turned him over to Pilate. Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate, and then they put the cross on his shoulder, and he had to carry it. He did not carry that cross sitting down. He didn't. You can't. I can't. Shan can't. None of us can. You can't carry the cross sitting down. This is our marching orders tonight. This is our marching orders tonight. This is the thing that's going to get us to obey the Lord tonight. You cannot sit there and say you're going to carry your cross. Because if you want to obey the Lord, you're going to have to come. If you want to have a good, wholesome relationship with God, you're going to have to come. You can't do it sitting down. You can't do it sitting down. And parents, let me say this last thing, and then I'm going to zip my lip and take my seat. You can't parent sitting down. You're going to have to get up and get involved in your children's lives. You're going to have to be actively involved in their lives. You cannot parent sitting down. Do as I say, but not as I do. That dog don't hunt. You can't do these things sitting down. Well, Anderson, what do I need to do? What do I need to do tonight? Tonight you need to obey the Lord. You need to have your name. Well, let me ask you the question rather than saying do you need to. Do you want your name written in the book of life? You don't have to answer the question audibly. You don't even have to answer the question with a gesture of nodding your head. Just answer to yourself. Do you want to live blissfully in heaven? Don't have to answer by nodding your head or even audibly. Answer to yourself. The question is, are you willing to do what the Lord wants you to do? One time, Brother Shan, I was visiting with a guy, and his parents were members of the body of Christ, and I simply asked, his name is Gus, and today Gus is quite a leader in the church. I said, Gus, does Jesus want you to be saved? He said, yes. I said, Gus, when does Jesus want you to be saved? He said, well, now. And I said, Gus, do you want to be saved? He said, yes. I said, Gus, when does Jesus want you to be saved? Now. Does Jesus want you to be saved? Yes. Gus, do you want to be saved? Yes. Then, Gus, what are you waiting on? When do you need to be saved? And before he knew it, he had been painted in a wall, painted in a corner. And so he said, now. Say, you ready, Gus? I guess I am. Went down and baptized Gus. Tonight I ask you the same question. Does Jesus want you to be saved? The answer is yes. When does he want you to be saved? He wants you to be saved now. Do you want to be saved? I hope your answer is yes. Well, when does Jesus want you to be saved? The answer is now. Does Jesus want you to be saved? The answer is yes. Will you let him save you? And will you let him save you now? Your name will be written in the book of life, and nobody will blot it out. You can't carry your cross sitting down. You can't do it. None of us can. You can't. I can't. None of us can. And that's why we must get moving tonight. What you have to do is make your way to the end of the aisle. This is how we do it, you know. And then what we'll do, we'll take your confession. The confession simply is, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And then we will baptize you once you make that acknowledgement that he is the Son of God. And what does baptism do? Baptism washes away your sin, Acts 22:16. Baptism puts you into the death, the burial, and the resurrection, which is called the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Because you are buried with him by baptism, you're buried with into his death, and then you rise to walk in the newness of life. That's what baptism does. Baptism gets you clothed in Christ, Galatians 3:27. Baptism is an answer of a good conscience towards God. 1 Peter chapter 3. Come on, tonight is your night. Do you want to be saved? Does he want you to be saved? When does he want you to be saved? The answer is now. Will you come now as together we stand and sing, You Can Begin Coming?